2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. We're still in our series, and this is the last sermon in this series, Preach Through the Pain, in which we are preaching through the pain of what's going on, that these pandemics that we're dealing with, the pandemics of the African-American males being killed, and the pandemic of COVID-19, the pandemic of bad leadership in America, and we just got a pandemic everywhere, amen? So we need to make sure that we preach through the pain, amen? 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and it reads, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him unto the house of Machir. I'm just killing these names this morning. The son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, I know I got that one right, because that's what I'm preaching about. The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? Ooh. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba and 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall that servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of my king's sons. Man, you talking about a turnaround. Lord, please bring a word, an on-time word, a concise word, a word that will pierce our hearts and change our lives, a word that will give us hope, that will give us life, that will speak to us where we are, yet convict us and lift us out of some of the misery and suffering we may be in. And if we already liberated, allow this word to liberate us all the more. In the name of Jesus, we do pray that you use thy servant in a mighty way, not for my glory, but for the glory of God, so that what thus says the Lord may go forth and heal the hearts, the people, and the land. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you from the subject. You will not die in Lodabar. You will not die in Lodabar. Amen. Amen. All right. The text today focuses on two main characters, David and Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul and the son of David. It is a story about the distress that experience that is caused by change. It is a story about an invitation that was accepted. It is a story about friendship, promises, grace, love, compassion, forgiveness, hope. So seldom in the profile that is readily available about David do we see such kindness. David is generally thought of as the little shepherd who slew the giant, or committing adultery with Bathsheba, or running from Saul. We remember him for being the man after God's own heart, relocating the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. His many wives, the incest in his family between his sons and daughters, and his friendship with Jonathan, the son of Saul. It is the friendship with Jonathan that brings us to this story today. Earlier in Samuel, we see a very powerful friendship between Jonathan and David. We know that they were close because the scripture lets us know that they loved each other as if they were one soul. David and Jonathan had bonded together and were very loyal to one another in spite of how Saul felt about David. David and Jonathan had made a covenant of friendship to each other, promising that whoever survived or outlived each other would look after each other's families. This incident certainly stands as a challenge to us as to how we operate with our friends and what kinds of promises have been made, kept, and or broken. It is also a challenge to honor the promises that we made to our own parents, grandparents, and descendants, and to do so reflects how we also kept our promises to God. We are certainly living in a time where all friendships are suspect and challenged. I'm gonna tell y'all something. I know I'm preaching, but the reason why them two cameras right there is for y'all to do what y'all doing over here, but keep doing it over there. But I just wanted to go ahead and say that. We'll edit that out. But anyway, if you have a friend, it just seems like everyone is wondering what is going on between them, as if there is so much thing, there is no such thing as pure friendship. It is equally concerned when friends are friends, irregardless of the problems and perception of others. You know how it is. People want you to be mad at Esmond or mad at Nathaniel because you mad at them. You want them to be mad at me because you mad at me. People want you to be mad at a whole family because you had a problem with one member of the family. You just can't seem to separate individuals and deal with the issues. At any rate, this is a time of much turmoil. Saul had failed as the first king, and David is now king. At this time, Jonathan and Saul die in the same battle on Mount Gilboa. Mephibosheth, he is only 5 years old. At the time, it was chaotic. The king is dead. The prince is dead. Now, what is happening to us? That's what they're thinking. The nurse picks up the child, and while running for their lives, drops Mephibosheth. While she saves his natural life, he's now crippled for life. Mephibosheth belonged to the royal line and thus lived in exile and fear from King David. He was subject to persecution and slander, but was rescued due to a promise that was made to his father that he probably hadn't even heard about. There's some promises God has for you that you don't even know about. There's some promises that your great grandfathers and grandmothers have prayed for you, and you're going to walk in blessing that you don't even know you're supposed to have. Do you know how many generations were blessed because Daniel prayed a prayer of 21 days and began to break all types of generational curses? Some of us are walking in curses and shouldn't even be walking in curses because God has already fulfilled the promise to your mother and your father, but you're just not walking in the grace of it because you continue to speak words against your blessing instead of claiming what God has for you. Mephibosheth would still be in trouble if David kept promises like we keep them today. We have trouble keeping our promises to each other in each other's faces. But David is faced with the challenge of keeping his promise even though his friend is dead. Most kings in this time of David tried to completely destroy the families of their rivals in order to prevent any of the descendants from trying to regain the throne. David did not do that. He actively sought out the descendants of his friend. He was told that Jonathan had a son, and the son was alive but lame. Not the kind of lame y'all talking about. He just couldn't walk. His search landed his servant down in Lodabar, a city east of the Jordan River. A city that was characterized by its barrenness, wastelands, and devastation. His search took his servants to Lodabar, the city in the midst of the wilderness. Lodabar, the place of no pasture, no greenery. It was desolate in Lodabar. Down in Lodabar, Mephibosheth lost his rank, lost his prestige, lost his respectability, lost his reputation, lost his superiority, lost his self-esteem. Down in Lodabar, Mephibosheth went from living in the palace to hiding out with a family friend. Mephibosheth went from the prince to servant. Mephibosheth went from powerful to afraid. Now in Lodabar, the orphan Mephibosheth is found and afraid for his life. David did not want to take his life, but save it by restoring to him all that had been taken from him. Mephibosheth was going to have to trust David. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Mephibosheth is summoned to the palace and received because David's deep love for his father. Do you know Jesus is your friend? Even though you irritate God by what you do and you irritate God by how we live and we mess up with God and we really the enemies of God because God does not like looking at sin and even turned his own back on his own son when he became sin on the cross. Do you know that you're an enemy of God? But he loves Jesus so much. Jesus steps in the gap for you. You're covered with the blood of Jesus. You are covered by his blood, and because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, God begins to look at his blood and not you. He don't look at me with my crazy self. Some people wonder, how in the world can you be a pastor? I wonder the same thing. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad that even though you mess up, God still calls you pastor? God still calls you youth pastor? God still calls you praise dancer? God still calls you governor? God still calls you mayor? God still calls you teacher? God still calls you organist? God still calls you what you're supposed to be and never calls you out your name? He always called you something bigger than your name because of his covenant with his son Jesus Christ, and because Jesus went to the cross for you and died on Calvary and walked up the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, where they put nails in his hand and brought to fruition the soteriological dispensation that if there be no shedding of blood, there be no remission of sin. He died for you because he loved you one late Friday, and went, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He loves you so much. That even though you fall short, you're covered. Mephibosheth, now 20 years old, whose name means from the mouth of shame. Lord, change your name. He came face to face with David. He fell flat on the floor in an act of submission. He referred to himself as a dead dog, meaning he felt like he had no worth or value. Dogs then were really dogs. Come on, somebody. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Dogs were really dogs. See, dogs man best friend today, but dogs were disdained and looked down on back then. So when they say, I'm like a dog, he was saying the lowest thing of the low, and he was even calling himself lower than a dog. He was comparing himself to being something very low and helpless. He really didn't know how things were going to work out. All he knew is that kings had a way of destroying the remnants of the families. But he humbled himself, fell on his face, reverenced the king, confessed his unworthiness. David quickly put Mephibosheth at ease, offered forgiveness, and invited him to dine at the king's table and be cared for the rest of his natural life. He was accepted and adopted into the royal family. David took him away to the throne and gave back everything that had been taken. This story, David and Mephibosheth, doesn't end right here. Mephibosheth is really a picture of you and me before God. Until we become God's children by being born again into his family, we are enemies, as I said, of God and exiled in Lodabar. God's enemies are any person who displease God or breaks his commandments. Mephibosheth was a member of the enemy family, but God had a special invitation waiting for him. This story is placed here to show us a type of salvation that is available to us through Christ Jesus. Oh, like David, our Lord searches for us until he finds us, like David did. Once Jesus finds us, he tries to have a little talk with us. Come on, somebody. Then if we're willing and ready, our Lord Jesus redeems us. Jesus restores and returns us to our Father's table in peace. See, you continue to look for something you already got. Have you ever looked for your glasses and they on top of your head? Have you been looking for your car keys and they in your hand? Have you been looking for your phone and you was talking on it? You couldn't find it because you already had it. And some of y'all looking for a breakthrough, but you've already been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And some of y'all looking for a healing, but by his stripes, you're already healed. And some of y'all looking for a blessing, but he already said that he blessed you abundantly, and he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he will begin a good work in you, shall finish it. Stop looking for something God has already given you. Stop looking for something God has already blessed you with. Stop looking for something God has already done for you. You already redeemed. Keep looking for something that's already in your hand. It's all ready in your spirit. David's love was exemplary of the love of God. It came out of a merciful heart. He didn't have to find Jonathan's son. Nobody else was there when he made the covenant with Jonathan. Nobody else knew it. After the way Saul had tried to kill David, and I remember this number because I'm a Michael Jordan fan. Saul tried to kill David 23 times. 23 times. I don't even know if I can trust you. If your daddy tried to kill me 23 times, I would have had to go out and kill you, bro. I'm sorry. I know, man. I know, you know, me and Jonathan was cool, but you know what happened on The Godfather? You know, I mean, but they really didn't treat him right. So let me leave that alone. But anyway. Only God can touch a man and make him do this kind of deed. Mephibosheth was lifted from poverty to plenty through the grace of the king. Stop acting like you walking in lack when God already said he wishes above all things that you be prosperous and in good health. I'm trying to talk to some people in Lodabar. Help me, somebody. I'm trying to talk to some people in Lodabar. Every day God shows us kindness and mercy. We are undeserving, but he keeps on blessing us anyway. We are undeserving, but he keeps on keeping us anyway. We are undeserving, but he keeps on striving with us. We are undeserving, but he keeps on forgiving us. We're undeserving, but he keeps on loving us. He keeps on coming where we are to bless us and lift us up. God, in his loving kindness, offers us everlasting life in his family and to dine at the royal table for the rest of our lives. The choice is ours. We have fallen and are also crippled, but we don't have to stay there. We are lame from our falls. We are running for our lives. We got so busy running till we tripped and fell. Yeah. We've fallen into trouble. We've fallen into confusion. We've fallen out of the will of God. We've fallen into sin. We've fallen into yokes and burdens. We've fallen by following our own ways instead of God's way. We've fallen into curses. We've fallen into selfishness. We've fallen into pride. You may have even been carried and dropped by someone who was trying to save you, dropped by someone else's fall, dropped by someone else's sin, dropped into a place where you didn't belong. Now we can't walk straight. Every time you try to get on your feet, you fall down. Every time you try to walk, you fall down. Every time you make a vow to the Lord, you find yourself having to take it back. Or every time you promise the Lord, I won't do that anymore, you fall down. Every time you endeavor to do the right thing, wrong kicks you over and laughs in your face. You may be content in Lodabar because you are alive, but get up. Don't get comfortable in your misery and failure. Don't get comfortable in something less than what God has promised you. Don't get comfortable when you haven't walked in the glory that God has ordained for you. I know you're crippled, but I know you're crippled by despair. I know you're crippled by death of loved ones. I know in the midst of COVID-19, I know you're crippled by disease. I know you're crippled by black people being killed every day. I know you're crippled by racism. I know you're crippled by sexism. I know you're crippled by things from your past. I know you're crippled by desires that won't turn you loose. I know you're in pain. I know you're locked in alcoholism and defeatism. But I implore you today, I invite you today, I entreat you today to come on out of Lodabar. You can come out. Come out. You can come out. I'm telling you, I know that you feel like you are nothing. I know that you feel like you're nobody. I know that you've been walked on. I know that you've been down so long that you don't even know which way is up. But come on. I'm just trying to talk to somebody. I need you to come out of Lodabar. I need you to come out of that low city because you don't belong there. You belong in the king's palace. You have grace. I know you got dropped, but you need to come out. Mephibosheth was already a part of the royal family, but because something had happened in his life, he got demoted. But let me tell you something. He never was demoted because he was still of royal blood. Can I talk to you for a minute? I know you failed, but you got royal blood in your veins. Come on, somebody. You're the son or the daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know you broke right now. I know you got foreclosed on. I know you lost your house. I know you lost your husband. I know you lost your wife. I know your child got locked up. But at the end of the day, you are royal priesthood. You are royal princess. You are royal king and queen. You are not a regular person. You are called and ordained by God. And I'm telling you, I need you to come out of Lord. There's nothing but death for you there. Come out of Lodabar, there's nothing but defeat for you there. Come out of Lodabar where the wasteland is there. Come out of Lodabar, there's no pasture there. Even in the valley, there's green pasture. Come out of Lodabar, the pure relationship with God. Come out of Lodabar, the victory over Satan. Come out of Lodabar, the victory in Jesus. Satan wants you to think that you won't make it outside of Lodabar, but come on out. You can make it out. God has something better for you. God has something way out there for you. You don't have to die in sin. God has prepared a table. Oh, come on, somebody. He's prepared a place for you. Not at your mama's house. Not at your daddy's house. Not even at your job. But he prepares a place in the presence of my enemy. So if you in Lodabar right now, I'm telling you right now, that's a sign that you're about to come out. If you in Lodabar right now, that's a sign that you're about to be delivered. If you in Lodabar right now, get out your bib. Get out the good china. Get out the good wine. Because God is about to make you the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. He is about to bless you. I know they buried you, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not buried. You're a seed. You've been planted in the midst of darkness. And if the seed has enough sense to know that even if I'm buried in dirt, even if I'm covered in dirt, even if I can't see the light, I still shall raise my hand up to the hills from which cometh my help, and eventually my petal will come out. If the tree can praise God from a seed in the dirt, if the flowers can praise God as a seed in the dirt, hey! If the tulips can praise God from a seed in the midst of the dirt, how dare you get stuck in Lodabar? If you in Lodabar, look up to the hills from which cometh your help. You shall bloom where you planted. Tell Lodabar, tell Lodabar, I'm about to leave. I'm packing my bag. In fact, I'm gonna leave my bag because my God has a better blessing for me. Hey, he will
make a way out of nowhere. I'm coming out of Lodabar. I'm coming out of Lodabar. My name ain't Mephibosheth. My name is Mighty King. My name ain't Mephibosheth. My name is Mighty Queen. My name is not Mephibosheth. I am blessed. My name is not Mephibosheth. I am healed. My name is not Mephibosheth. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am delivered. I am healed. I'm coming out of Lodabar. I know they tried to bury her. I've been clothed for a mighty long time. I want black people to understand this. Anytime they keep throwing dirt on you, I want you to be like this story I heard from an old school preacher, Brother Jarrell. That was a donkey that didn't do work good. And the old farmer threw the donkey in a deep hole. And every time he throw dirt on the donkey would shake it off and put the dirt under his feet. And the old farmer kept shoveling. And every time the donkey would shake it off and put the dirt under his feet, after hours in the day, that old donkey stepped out the hole. What's the moral to the story? Any BS that's been thrown at you, shake it off and put it under your feet. Farmers use BS, which is also known as manure. And when you put manure, boo-boo if you will, feces, your bowel movement, they put it on the grass. And when they do that, the grass is greener. Take the boo-boo in your life and let it make your grass greener. Let it make your praise greener. Let it make your blessings greener. Hey, whatever you throw at me, I'm gonna shake it off. Hey, and put it under my feet. I'm gonna tell you right now, America, Donald Trump, oppressive laws, we coming out of Lodabar. Because if the seed can praise and become a plant, if the seed can praise and become a tree, if the seed can praise and become a rose, even though you keep putting me in dirt, I shall praise my Lord, because I'm coming out of Lodabar right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, I'm coming out of Lodabar. I'm going to Canaan, where there's land of milk and honey. Hey, you know the problem? You can't go to Canaan if you're scared of the giants. Come on, police brutality. Come on, racist Republicans. Come on, racist president. Come on, unjust laws. Come on, new Jim Crow. I'm gonna tell you right now, I might not have nothing but a sling and a rock, but I'm coming out of Lodabar right now. Hey! Hey! I know they dropped you. I know they said the land of the free. I know they said you was created equal. I know they dropped you. I know you feel lame. But I'm gonna tell you, like Peter and John, silver and gold, I don't have for you. But in the name of Jesus, Mephibosheth, get up and walk. I'm too crunk. My therapist gonna kill me. Woo, shandy de babosa. I'm coming out of Lodabar. You can't hold me. Satan, you can't hold me. New Jim Crow, you can't hold me. Racism, you can't hold me. Crooked America, you can't hold me. Coronavirus, You can't hold me. Sickness and disease, you can't hold me. I'm coming out of Lodabar. I'm walking in my blessings. I ain't staying in Lodabar. I don't know about you, but I ain't staying in Lodabar. I don't know about you, but I'm coming out of Lodabar. You can stay in Lodabar if you want to. If I grab your hand and you try to stay there, I gotta let it go. I'm coming out of Lodabar. I can't stay in Lodabar. If somebody left you, get out of Lodabar. If you lost your job, get out of Lodabar. God got another one. Get out of Lodabar. I know you've been dropped, but you can't take that drop into all your new relationships. Let God heal your emotional legs. Don't walk around here crippled emotional, financially, spiritually. Don't you let your spirit get in Mephibosheth. Don't you let the devil fool you and call you something that you're not. See, the devil calls you something that you're not, it makes you lower than what you are. God called you something that you're not, it uplifts you and take you to the next level. See, God will call you out your name, but he'll call you higher. Don't you get Mephibosheth. I'm just making up words. Hey, man, Esmond smiled on that one. He always got that gangster face. Mephibosheth. I ain't going to let him Mephibosheth me. I'm walking in my blessings. Walk in your blessings. I know it's hot out there. I'm trying to go on and get finished with you all. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, inbox us, email us, honk your horns and put your blinkers on, and somebody will come to you and make sure that you're all right. Hey, deacons, if you can hear me, deacons and trustees, this is my spirit right now. It ain't me, so don't get mad. I don't care if you take up offering in the beginning or the end, because one lady came to me last week. Make sure you had both exits on the way out, just in case people want to give. Be out there with the baskets each time, because some people come in late, and I've actually got an inbox message saying that they weren't able to give offering and they didn't know how to give electronically. So anytime they're exiting, make sure you're just out there so they can be able to get their blessing. And I believe when you begin to sow seeds, you come out of Lodabar. In fact, if you want to sow a seed to come out of your lower bar, do that. If you're online, you can give the newbeastgrove.org/give. You can go to Givelify app and pull it up and find Newbeast Grove and sow a seed in. And just put on it, I'm coming out of Lodabar. Plant your seed for where you want to go. You don't plant a watermelon seed. I bet I got to tell y'all a Black History moment in a minute once I finish preaching. You wouldn't plant a watermelon seed looking for peaches. So plant a seed and sow a seed for what it is you want. But if you want to receive Jesus, please put your blinkers on and honk your horn. Inbox us, email us. Whatever you need to do. I'm going to give y'all a Black History moment, even though it ain't Black History. Someone shared this to me. You know the watermelon, how they try to make Black people out there real lazy. Well, when we first got emancipated from slavery, you know, we was the one working in the fields. And so what they would do is, watermelon is a pretty cheap fruit to plant because it has so many what? Seeds in it. Ooh, that'll get you when you go home, plant them seeds. But it was a cheap crop to do, but because we had been working the land, we had more skills than our counterparts in America. And so what we would do, even though we had just come out of slavery, we made much money because we planted watermelons. And you need a lot of sun, you need a lot of water, and a lot of good soil. It's a cheap fruit, but it's hard to grow. And so that's how we made a lot of our money coming up. And so they would do those characters of us eating watermelon to make it look like, you know, we were just lazy and not doing anything. First of all, if we were lazy, America wouldn't be here. Because, I mean, they ain't put no nails in the wall back then. You feel me?
So I just wanted to give y'all that Black History moment. So a lot of time when you see negative things like that, and I'm talking to you all and I'm educating people in my peripheral view as well, it was back then to make sure that it made you look bad even though you were doing something good. You were being blessed in some more than some of the sharecroppers were because you were growing watermelons. And to make it just look bad, they just made you look like you were just having, you know, even if you do eat it like that, who cares? You were making money. You feel me? The monkey wrench was invented by one of those famous boxers, a black boxer. And it's just a wrench, but they called it a monkey wrench because it was created by a black man. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of time when you see negative connotations, I need y'all to begin to do y'all back research so you can begin to uplift yourself. Because a lot of times we put up with stuff because of the self-esteem America has allowed us to have on ourselves. Now, I'm not saying be racist or prejudiced like other people may be. No. Black Lives Matter and black pride is not that you're racist, that you're finally saying, look, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves me. I didn't understand something one of my great pastors said. He said that a Caucasian pastor told him, God loves me and God loves you too. And he said, no, God loves me and he loves you too. Like, don't act like I'm an afterthought. I know this ain't sermon wise, but I just need you all to understand. I'm talking to my people right now. I'm talking to everybody in the beginning. I'm talking to everybody, but I need you to still listen, whether you're black or not. A lot of characters that were created about us were because we were doing well, even in the midst of oppression. You've been in Lodabar for a long time. 401 years is long enough to be in Lodabar. I ain't staying in Lodabar. I think my arm hurt to make sure I don't try to come out of Lodabar the wrong way.